And our next guest, Ann Orlero. I worked with Ann for years. Ann was with the, bring that mic up close. You've been on the air so many times. I just want to line you up there. Gosh, for years you were at the Pacific Whale Foundation, probably 10, 15 years? How many years were you?
Oh, just keep on going.
20 years. 20 years. Yes. So it was a big change when you left. And I always wonder, and you're always such a hardworking, brilliant woman. I was wondering, what are you going to do next? And I was so excited when you reached out to me about your new cause because, you know, you're staying in the ocean, the realm of the ocean, right?
That's right. I love the ocean, and I just can't quite bring myself anywhere away from it. So, yes, I work with Maui Nui Marine Resource Council, and we're another nonprofit. We're working for clean ocean water, healthy coral reefs, and bringing back an abundance of native fish. We've been doing this. We're now celebrating. I was adding it up just before I came here, and it's like, oh, it is just about 12 years
of
doing this work.
Yeah, 12 years. We've learned so much in those 12 years, haven't we, about what is needed and what has to be done. And it's such a huge, important cause, you know. We really are discovering more and more about these living reefs. And you're actually going to be doing a special event at the Maui Ocean Center, aren't you?
That's right. On Monday, December 9th, we have Dan Dennison, who's the Senior Communications Director for Hawaii Tourism Authority. DLNR, sorry. And he is...
Monday, that's an unusual day to do it.
Yeah, we usually have our meetings and our events on the first Wednesday of every month, but we got a little, you know, with the holidays, we had to be a little flexible.
So it's Monday at the Ocean Center?
At Maui Ocean Center. Maui Ocean Center is so kind to us. They host our monthly meetings at the Sphere, which is an amazing facility.
It's a great spot, right? Great.
And so, so Dan is coming over to talk about the new Coral Pledge that DLNR has been promoting. And it's just an effort to, I have a copy of the pledge here, but just to encourage people to help protect the reefs, people in the tourism industry, just ordinary people like you and me, and just looking at things like, you know, when you're out in the ocean, if you're going to stand anywhere, just stand only on sand. Don't stand on corals because corals are living animals. Use Reef Safe Sunscreen, which is a campaign that, you know, Maui Nui Marine Resource Council has really been pushing to avoid sunscreens with oxybenzone and octinoxate, which are two chemicals that harm coral reefs. You know, containing any chemicals, trying to keep chemicals from washing into the ocean. So if you're washing your car, you know, try to wash your car in grass if you can, or at a car wash. Don't pour oil down storm drains and things like that. So Dan is going to be talking about this Coral Pledge.
What time does that start?
It starts at 5:30 at Maui Ocean Center.
Is there a charge or is that free?
It's free, but we have been taking reservations because we found that our these monthly presentations have been so popular. And this particular presentation, I was checking the numbers yesterday, and we're full.
Oh, my and gosh. So, that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. So we might have a few openings, but at this point, it looks like we're pretty full. So,
what is the pledge? I haven't seen that pledge yet.
So it's a it's something that DLNR is asking the public and especially the tourism industry to just take this Coral Pledge to try to get the word out to the public and to visitors about how to protect coral reefs.
And that's a whole issue in itself, isn't it? Because there is so many people that are coming this time. A lot of the people in the rest of the country are freezing. And it's like, okay, let's go to Maui. Let's go to Hawaii for the holidays or something. So we see this whole influx of people. And, of course, they aren't near as aware as we are here about the reefs and about the what we do with when you use the old suntan lotion, which probably are on sale now because they're illegal here, you know.
So. Well, it's starting in 2021. Yeah. So we still have some time. So, one of the things that Maui Nui Marine Resource Council is doing is we're trying to reach out to visitors. So we got some funding. We have some displays going up in the Kahului Airport by the end of this month. And with these same messages, you know, stand only on sand. Corals are living animals. Don't stand on them. Use reef-safe sunscreen. you know, don't touch turtles, you know, stay back.
I know. It's amazing. Sometimes I see these pictures of people holding a turtle and going, what in the world are you thinking? Or laying on top of them. Or I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. So so many times, you know, visitors, they want to do the right thing.
Don't know.
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is educate them. We also have some new coral reef information signs going up at beaches.
Oh, that's
around
a good
Maui,
idea.
And that'll be
that's
happening
a very good
in 2020.
Idea. Yeah.
And we,
of course, you know, the Maui Ocean Center has done a lot to actually grow reefs. And I think what they have there with the reefs, it's very educational. Mm-hmm. If anyone goes in the Maui Ocean Center and looks around and they see the reefs and what they've done and the history and how it's important to actually grow them, you can see that they're living things. You can read about it. And I think that's valuable for people as well.
Yeah, it's a really important thing to realize that corals are alive, that mm-hmm. they look like rocks to a lot of people. And, you know, if you're a beginning snorkeler, it's a good idea to go out there with like a swim noodle or a flotation device so that you can keep your feet up. Because when you're trying to get the water out of your mask that first time, you don't want to stand on the corals. Because corals are really these very delicate, fragile little animals.
Oh, yeah.
And they form this hard exoskeleton around themselves. And their kind of their squishy part is like against that exoskeleton. And if you step on them, you're basically squishing the living animal. And, mm-hmm. and you can kill the animals. And mm-hmm. without those animals, the reefs don't rebuild themselves. And then they get eroded by waves and storms. And all of a sudden, we don't have coral reefs.
And there's been wash-off from certain areas that you've had to work hard to try to stop the chemical wash-off from some places.
Yeah. One of the, you know, we all know about, you know, climate change and increasing ocean temperatures and the threat they pose to coral reefs, and including coral bleaching. And, you know, we saw quite a bit of it this summer. We had a very very warm summer here. And, you know, I swim every Sunday in South Maui. I kind of go for a 1 to 2 mile ocean swim with a group of friends. And we've seen a lot of coral bleaching out there, as has DLNR.
What do you think was causing that?
Well, coral bleaching is caused, you know, corals have, I'm going to get sound really nerdy here, but corals have this unique relationship with this beneficial algae that live within their tissues. And this algae gives coral their beautiful colors. And the algae also helps the corals get food. The algae takes energy from sunlight and then through photosynthesis creates food. And it provides about 90% of the food that the corals get.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So there you go. There's a science fact for you. And then the what happens for some reason, and we don't quite understand why, but when ocean water gets warmer, like even like 2 degrees Celsius, mm-hmm. the corals get stressed, or maybe it's the algae gets stressed, but somehow the algae end up leaving the corals, whether they're expelled or they leave on their own. And then the corals are left to kind of fend for themselves for food. And they can pull food out of the water, but again, it's drastically reduced. And the corals look white because these algae that give the corals their color are suddenly gone.
Oh my gosh.
That's why bleaching happens. And corals can live for a little while without that nice relationship with the algae producing food for them, but they can't go on for a long time like that. So if the water stays really warm, then the corals can weaken and die.
Can the seaweed, there's been a lot of proliferation of different kinds of seaweed. I don't think it's as bad here as on Oahu, but they had this problem on Oahu with some of the big ocean liners coming in there. Some of the naval ocean liners had seaweed that actually was very, very poisonous and bad to some of the environment there. I don't think we have all that seaweed here, but would seaweed growth also be damaging to some of the areas of the reefs and algae?
Yes, exactly. So algae, there are invasive types of algae. And they actually can cover up the reef and smother it. And so that's why fish like parrotfish are really important, because they're herbivores and they eat the seaweed.
Uh-huh.
So like up at Kahikili, there's a ban on the taking of herbivores. And that's to protect the reef. And so if you've got these, you know, lawnmowers of the ocean going in there and grazing on the seaweed, that really helps the corals. Because corals, again, if there's too much algae growing on them, over them, this invasive algae, that kind of hinders their ability to get food from sunlight. And they can die from that.
So it's so interconnected. The whole balance is so, unique, but it can get thrown off so easily when one thing goes wrong and one other issue comes in, like this other invasive seaweed that's not necessarily natural to this area. You can have a lot of damage done pretty quickly, huh?
Exactly, exactly. And so things like too much nitrogen in the water that might come from fertilizers or from wastewater, from cesspools or injection wells, too much nitrogen in the water leads to too much invasive algae in the water, which is bad for corals. So we're doing this program. We have this water quality testing program, ocean water quality testing. It's called Huioka Vai'ola, which means Association of the Living Waters. And we test 41 locations in South and West Maui.
Do you have to go to certain areas of depths of the water to have it equal, or how do you make the rules of where you check it?
Well, we have some pretty strict rules about it. First of all, this is volunteer-based, so we've got more than 35 volunteers who are just wonderful. They give their time to go through pretty rigorous training and then to do this testing. We have this protocol that we developed with the State of Hawaii Department of Health Clean Water Branch so that they would accept our data, because they are sort of the repository and distributor of all of this ocean water quality data. They give it to the EPA and to the state and to the counties. And so we wanted to be sure that our data would be accepted. So we have this, you know, training program, protocols.
Strict, yeah.
Right, right. And
it's a science.
Yeah. It's very science-based. And we do this in partnership, this program in partnership with the Nature Conservancy and West Maui Ridge to Reef Initiative. So we that's where Hui comes from, in Huioka Vai'ola. We're working together. And we go to these 41 sites every 3 weeks, and we test for 13 different parameters, looking at things like the sediment in the water, the pH, the temperature, nutrients. I mentioned, you know, nitrogen, nitrates, nitrites, phosphorus. And we do some of the, we gather the water. You asked earlier how deep we go. We're gathering it at knee depth.
Well, and we go
early in the morning before the waves really kicked up a whole lot. And we have this whole routine where we have mobile labs in the backs of our volunteer teams, and they do some of the testing right there on site.
Wow.
And then they bring it to our labs that we have at the Hawaiian Islands Humpback Whale National Marine Sanctuary. And also,
that's right there in South Kihei near Maui.
And the sanctuary is so wonderful to us. They're so gracious about hosting this lab for free. And we also have a lab at Lahaina Luna High School.
Really? Same thing. So where the kids can learn about it.
Yeah, some of the students have volunteered and participated in this. And we're actually doing some work also with kids from Maui Preparatory Academy. They're helping us out. So we're doing more testing there. And then we actually have to freeze and ship the samples to Oahu for additional nutrient testing.
Really?
So it's very, very involved.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And you've got to send that so it stays frozen on the waiting and loading and plane and over there. And the temperatures, it could be 98 degrees.
Right.
In the summer they were, yeah.
Right. But we're gathering all this great data. In West Maui, we're in our third year of doing that. And in South Maui, our second year. And, you know, we're playing detective, you know, that we're trying to understand. So why are the corals not as healthy? Why is water quality impaired? And so we're able to look at things like in West Maui, the big issue is sediment. We've got a lot of seasonal and perennial streams. And when it rains really hard, there's just a lot of sediment that flows down into the ocean. So when we see where it's happening the most and when it's occurring, we can then start looking upstream and saying, okay, or upslope, why is this happening? Are there things we can do? Can we fill in old ag roads that are unused and, you know, may have been contributing to erosion where water's just like, you know, streaming right down it, you know, during a rainstorm? So we're looking at that. In South Maui, the issue is more nutrients in the water. So places like Kihei Cove Park, lots of nutrients, nitrogen in the water. And so, again, playing detective, we decided, well, we need to find out what kind of nitrogen, and, you know, so we could understand how it's getting there. So we did some isotope testing. This sounds nerdy again, but isotope testing of limu. And we were able to see what flavor of nitrogen was there. Was it the flavor of nitrogen from fertilizers, maybe from some of the old fields? Or was it the flavor of nitrogen from, like, wastewater? And it's looking like, you know, these are preliminary results. It's looking like it's wastewater. So again, now that we have that data, we can, you know, again, start to work with people who, you know, are in the community, in county government, start looking up slope, you know, looking at ways to solve the problem.
There's a lot of work you're doing. I have someone calling in a couple minutes, but I mean, well, actually, we've got 4 minutes. But okay. I have to say, Anne, I had no idea how completely intensive this work was and how seriously you're taking this work. You know, there's a lot of great feel-good organizations out there that are great, but I didn't know that you went into the depth of what you're going into with the Maui Nui Resource Council. Mm-hmm. So are there ways people can get involved? Today is Giving Tuesday.
Exactly. I was up at 6 a.m. posting things on our social media, reminding everyone that it's Giving Tuesday. And we actually have a matching donation challenge out there. One of our Maui donors said, okay, I'm putting $5,000 down on the table for the holiday season starting Giving Tuesday. And any donations that come in will get matched out of this $5,000 pool one-to-one. So you get to double your donation. You can go to MauiReefs.org to donate.
That's
to
easy
support
one.
It.
I like that, MauiReefs.org.
I
we
like
can
it
remember
too.
That not
I can,
too long.
Yeah, I can. I can remember it.
You won't misspell it either, right? MauiReefs.
Right.
We can spell MauiReefs.org.
Yeah, so that's one way you can get involved. Certainly coming to our monthly meetings, signing up for our free newsletter on our website. Yeah, so and if you're interested in volunteering with the water quality program, we're always looking for volunteers too.
So this is, you know, an organization that's doing some serious work with the help of a lot of volunteers. You're also obviously very involved in education.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're a lot of what you're doing right now, I've learned. And I love learning things like this. I've learned a lot just from what you've had to say in 20 minutes here.
Oh, that's great to hear.
And you know what? You say you're nerdy, but no, I can understand it. You're not nerdy, really. It is understandable, and it's educational. And I guess it's also good for people maybe to find you online, because social media is important these days as far as being able to connect. And you said you have a Facebook site? Do you have a Facebook site?
We do. We're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
At Maui Reefs or what? Maui Nui?
Yeah, it's Facebook / is it MNMRC? If you just type in Maui Nui Marine Resource Council, you'll find us.
How did you land up with them, by the way, in the last minute or so?
That's a long story. But I've known Robin Newbold, who is our co-founder, ever since my earliest days at Pacific Whale Foundation.
Oh, okay.
We've been friends, and she is just a wonderful human being. She co-founded the organization with the late Uncle Ed Lindsay.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so that goes into deep roots as well.
Yeah. We could talk for hours, Cindy.
Well, I always love talking to you.
I love talking to you, too.
I really do, and it's getting towards, it is whale season. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be late, but I mean, you brought up an interesting point. The oceans are warmer, and there's no, I mean, that's scientifically, you found that when you did the tests of the water, right?
Yes, we definitely saw that, and DLNR has also correlated that.
And that affects not only the reefs, but it affects maybe the way the whales come and whether whales are going to be spending time here or going maybe to California. They saw an increase of the humpback whales in California last year. So there's interesting things that are happening throughout the entire oceans. And with all the plastics, and that was my big aha moment, that was awful aha, a couple of years ago when I started finding out how completely polluted the oceans are now with plastic. And that's another issue that comes back. And did you, when you did the samples, could you tell if there were plastics in the different areas, more plastics? Because they're microscopic, aren't they?
They break down to tiny little pieces. We have not been testing or monitoring plastic. But yes, I've heard statistics that there's, in the near future, there will be, or there already is, more plastic than fish in the ocean. So yeah, the oceans.
That's terribly scary.
It's awful.
I mean, when I started hearing that, and then there's that whole A size of Texas in the ocean, the plastic island of plastic that it's out there floating as well.
Right.
And, of course, we're right here where we can receive a lot of that junk as well on our oceans, you know.
That's true. So if you're out at the beach this coming weekend or during this holiday season, give a gift to the oceans and bring a little trash container with you and pick up any trash that you see.
Thank you for that. And there's a lot of trash. And you know what? Still, you find the cigarette butts, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the cigarette butts are still one of the things they find the most when they do the beach cleanups.
Yes, Yes.
And that shocks me, too, because, like, you're not supposed to be smoking at the ocean. That was a rule made that you were, maybe you were with Pacific Whale Foundation when that passed.
Pacific Whale Foundation really pushed that and helped.
No butts about it?
Yeah, butts off the beach was our initial campaign.
I remember that. And again, people think it's like an ashtray, you know? People think it's like an ashtray. You can just go to the ocean and put your cigarette. And it's like, no, think about it. The water comes in, and we have these high tides now that make it even worse, right? Mm-hmm. The very high tides, the king's tides, these last 2 years are unlike anything else we've ever seen.
Exactly.
And so they're coming up, and people go, you know, it won't bother the ocean. I'm up here on the beach. But no, the ocean does come in, and it goes out. And then those cigarette butts can be eaten.
That's right.
By the turtles, by the whales, by the fish.
By seabirds, too.
I hadn't thought about that, seabirds as well, because, they come down. So, you know, there's a lot we have to learn about to take care of our oceans.
Very true.
And our oceans surround this island. It's our life, you know. It's our lifeblood. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we've done so much damage to the earth that, I mean, truly, I mean, I feel the call of Mother Earth. And my next CD is going to be Mother Earth is Calling, because we can't avoid it anymore. We cannot. When we see it at the point you're seeing it at, and we're seeing this damage that's done, it's time for us to really get a handle on it and do something about this, you know?
Yes, I mean,
it's a crisis point, really.
It's a crisis point, and just a reminder, coral reefs aren't just about fish or tourism. They're really about protecting our shorelines, that the corals provide, the reefs. If you've ever been out in Waikiki, for example, and you look out and you see big waves, and then you don't see big waves right near shore, but that's because there are coral reefs buffering the waves, and the reefs provide the same benefit here. So without our reefs, we could lose our near shore roads and infrastructure, buildings. So from a very...
I had never thought of that.
Yeah, from an economic perspective, reefs are really important.
So all of these low-lying roads that we've just already had problems with the king tides, it's going to get even worse if the reefs erode, because then there'll be nothing to buffer the waves coming in.
That's right.
A lot of reason to invest in trying to protect. My gosh. And what are you going to do? How are you going to rebuild some of these roads? It's like, wow. Some of these roads, like on South Kihei, I mean, how do you rebuild some of those roads on South Kihei that are right there, right? I mean,
It's so true. Lots of issues for us to think about and to address, and the sooner the better, as you were saying.
So are you a statewide organization, or are you just on Maui? I know you're Maui Nui, but do you work with a whole statewide group about this?
Well, we're based right here on Maui. We have we have this team, the Maui Coral Recovery Team, and we bring coral reef researchers and experts from throughout the Hawaiian Islands here and they put together a Maui Coral Recovery Plan, which they presented to the county council some years back. But we're pretty much Maui based.
And you work on funding from the state government?
We work on funding from all sources.
Is that part of your job?
Yes. Yes.
The hard part of any job is the fundraising part, right?
That's right. But, you know, when it's something you really believe in, the fundraising is really easy to do. And we've been fortunate. We have just so many wonderful donors in the community. The supporters for our ocean water quality program, Napili Bay and Hanua Kai and... Makana Aloha Foundation. There's just all kinds of people, in addition to some big national organizations like National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. They're supporting our work above Ma'alaya. We're doing a whole project up there and in Ma'alaya Harbor to improve water quality in Ma'alaya Bay.
There was so much damage done. Is it now everything's pumped, right? You're not supposed to dump in Ma'alaya Harbor anymore, right?
The boat part has been taken care of, but there is a lot of sediment that flows down into the harbor. If you look at all that area that was burned, guess what? There's no plant cover. Mm-hmm. Once there's no plant cover, then you've got sediment flowing down.
All of that.
So we have a pretty large grant from National Fish and Wildlife Foundation that we're looking for some matching funds on, but it's a multi-year project we hired a organization, Maui Environmental Consulting, to put together a plan for how to address the erosion issues up there. And so we're implementing those, their recommendations. We also are putting oysters into Ma'alaya Harbor in cages.
Not.
Starting in January, yes. And oysters.
Oysters?
Are, yeah, they're great filter feeders. And
I had never thought of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, so many places in the Southeast Asia have oysters, but I hadn't thought about having them here.
Yeah, well, they're using them in Honolulu and also New York Harbor, Baltimore Harbor.
So and our, not for pearls.
Not for pearls, and ours
and
are not
for eating.
Not for eating. You only want to eat oysters from clean water, and these oysters are filtering pollutants out of the water. They can even take Staph and MRSA bacteria out of the water.
Not.
Yeah, single oyster can filter like 40 to 60 gallons of water in a day. So
that's
we're
amazing.
Yeah, so anyway, we're starting with a small batch of oysters. They're oysters that are triploids, meaning they can't reproduce, and they're in cages, and we're asking the community to kind of keep an eye out for them, and we'll have signage there.
Don't eat the oysters.
Don't eat these oysters.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're working oysters.
Exactly.
And they're
exactly.
filtering oysters.
They're filtering oysters.
Well, I think I missed the call maybe from our friend Shelley at Lahaina Cannery Mall, so I'll just in the last minute here mention that Santa Claus is coming with the Maui Classic Cruisers this Saturday at 10:30 to the Lahaina Cannery Mall, and there'll be Talk Story with Santa, and of course holiday portraits from 11 to 4 every weekend till Christmas. And you can also maybe win a $500 shopping spree. Find out more. And also, there's free gift wrapping. That's for me because I happen to be the worst gift wrapper in the world. People laugh when they see my, no, they see my gifts wrapped and they just laugh. And they go, I'm sorry, I am really, really bad at gift wrapping. So you can have free gift wrapping up there, which is really cool. So it's such a pleasure and treat to have two wonderful women doing great work here. Thank you. I really enjoyed talking with you, Pam.
Thank you, Cindy.
And the wonderful work you do. Thank and it's so great to connect with you again, Anne.
Yeah. Thank you, Cindy.
And learn a lot.
We're going to have to get you on your own radio show. I used to come on sometimes in the past, but you really do a great job explaining
all this. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And it is Giving Tuesday, and they can go to MauiReef.org if they want.
MauiReefs.org.
With an S.
Okay,
yes.
MauiReefs.org, and your gift will be well spent and doubled. With a kind association of help. And a big aloha and happy holidays. Merry Christmas
happy
to everyone.
Holidays.
Happy holidays
aloha.
To you.